everyone. I'm Catherine. Welcome to Trailhead Church, and thank you for spending part of your weekend with us. In just a few minutes, the band will be out to lead us in worship. Then one of our pastors will share a message. Altogether, we'll be together a little over an hour this morning. If you're new this morning, we're honored that you've chosen to join us, and we'd love to get to know you. The easiest way to get connected is to complete our online connected card. It only takes a minute, and it's the best way to become part of the Trailhead community. Just visit trailhead.church/connect or text the word connect to 833-209-7295. If you're with us in person, stop by our info desk and meet one of our friendly greeters and receive a gift on your way out. Just a couple of quick reminders before we get started. If you have chosen to keep your kiddos in service with you today and you'd like a more private space to comfort or nurse your child, we have calming spaces available where you can continue to watch the service. Just ask one of our volunteers to show you the way. If you want to stay up to date on everything happening around Trailhead, you're going to want to download the Trailhead Church app. You'll be able to find message notes for today's sermon, see all our upcoming events, communicate with your study group, and catch up on messages you may have missed. You can even sign up to receive specific notifications based on your interests. Just search for Trailhead Church in your app store. Thanks again for being with us this weekend. Grab a seat and let's get ready for worship.
We're so excited to be here with you on this wonderful Sunday morning. We're going to stand up. We're just going to praise the Lord together, just worship Him together. But before we do, I'd actually like to read a scripture. We know that for the last couple of weeks, we've heard of stories of families being sick, sicknesses continuing to spread, and we're just going to come in agreement today, and we're just going to bind that up. In the name of Jesus, a couple weeks ago, our youngest was hospitalized for a few days. And this is the scripture that I held on to because I knew that God was good and He was faithful. Through all of it, the Holy Spirit filled us with so much peace and surrounded us with wonderful nurses and doctors that advocated for us and took care of us. But more than that, we knew where our source was. We were not afraid. We were not overwhelmed. We were not overcome because we know that God is our provider. In Isaiah 41, verses 10 and 13, verse 10 says, "Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation." Verse 13 says, "For I, the Lord your God, keep hold of your right hand. I am the Lord who says to you, do not fear. I will help you." So this morning, whatever care, whatever worry it is that you have that is weighing you down, where you feel alone, we're going to bind it up and we're just going to give it to Jesus. We're going to lay it down at the feet of Jesus. We know that you have the victory, God. We love you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. All right, church, we're going to go ahead and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you. We love you.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war He wages, He will win. I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. 'cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I do. Yes, I know how this story ends. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the
God, you poured out your life just to give us new life. Now from the lips of the forgiven, hear an anthem arise. Jesus, you're alive. Oh, you reign above it all. You reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign. Out of an empty grave, now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave, now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. Come on, church, sing it out. You sent the darkness running. We're declaring out our faith. Seated alone.
Jesus, you reign. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't he good? Amen. We are so excited to be here together, to be able to worship, to be able to magnify the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you so much, God, that we can be here today. God, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We can get excited as one body. That, God, that we can come together under your name and be able to just worship and just magnify and just recognize all that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, we thank you. God, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you will do. And right now, I know that there's been some sickness going around, and there's some people, maybe you're watching at home because you're not feeling good. Maybe something's going around. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we are binding that sickness with the name of the Holy Spirit. We are praying right now, if whether you're watching at home or whether you're in here right now and you're just not feeling that good, right now in the name of Jesus, we are praying that viruses are dead, that germs are going away, that symptoms are ceasing, and that right now the people are healed in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, God, for all that you're doing, Lord. We thank you that we can worship as one body. And God, that we can just magnify your name. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Turn to your neighbor. Tell them they look good this morning. But mean it. Like, really sell it. Let them know. And then you may be seated. Well, we are excited to be here with you today. We're going to go ahead and continue our worship through the giving of tithes and offerings. You know, like Dex said, Dex, here's my wife. We did not mean to dress alike today. It was a little bit of a chaotic morning at our house. So, like, we got here and just sort of like, wow, we look good. I mean, all right. That's right. That's right. I like the enthusiasm. But like Dex was saying earlier, you know, a couple weeks ago, our son had to go in the hospital for RSV. And it was one of those things like where it was a rough morning. He was having some labored breathing. And then I turned into, well, should we take him to the doctor? Yeah, let's take him to the doctor. Doctor can't see him. Okay, let's try urgent care. We take him to urgent care. Urgent care takes one look at him and says, he needs to go to the ER. Okay, take him to the ER. ER looks at him and says, he needs to go to the hospital. And it became what was going to be maybe an inconvenience for the day turned into a three-day hospital stay. That was quite frankly, you know, we've never experienced anything like that before, especially with our kids. So it was scary. And like she said, we were praying, we were standing on God's truth, and we were just, you know, worshiping Him. And I know the last day, it was Sunday, I wasn't able to come to church, so because I was going there to be with Him. And before I left, because I was coming home to be with our oldest, and we just laid hands on him. We laid hands on his chest and just prayed for healing. We prayed for God's divine work to take place. We stood in agreement together because he was still breathing really hard, still needing oxygen. And then I walked out, and then I get a text message later that night. They took him off oxygen. I get a phone call at 9 o'clock in the morning. They want us gone. I'm like, that's good because I want us to be gone too. And so we're just excited. I pull up. It's the Children's Hospital at UNC, and I pull up in my car, and the kid who couldn't walk the day before has this giant teddy bear just walking alongside the road, just big smile on his, because he hates being there too, just big smile on his face, just ready to go. And man, we just started worshiping and praising God in the car on the way home. He was just cheesing from ear to ear. And then after the excitement settled, and after, we got home, there was that realization, there's going to be a bill for this. I mean, let's face that. Hey, praise God, our kid's okay. But it's like, whew. I mean, I used to work for the hospital. I've seen some of those bills. And so we're still waiting on that bill to come through after insurance and all that stuff. And so there's these, like, a little bit of a moment of like, whew, boy, we're not looking forward to that. And it started becoming, and even for me personally, it came a little bit of a source of anxiety. You know that, oh gosh, what's this going to be? What's this going to look like? Like, I don't know. And the more and more I started to pray about it, the Holy Spirit really just ministered to me and said, I got this. So I got you. I had your son in the hospital. I had him there. Your son was walking. That afternoon, he was on the trampoline. Like, it just, you wouldn't even recognize him. He said, and the more and more I started praying, the more and more I started praying. It's like, you think some bill is something that's going to stop me? Like, God's in heaven waiting for that bill too. Ooh, I hope it's not more than this. Because I'm tapped, all right? I don't have anything. Because it would have been really easy. It could have been really easy for me. It could have been really easy for us to be like, you know, if we don't give this week, I mean, who's going to even know? But in reality, this is the time that when, especially when things are uncertain, when things are good or when things are uncertain, that's when you press in and you trust God even more by staying obedient to his word. And so it wasn't even a second guess for us. Of course we're going to give. Of course we're going to sow into good grounds. Because number one, and we're going to give cheerfully because we know that God is our source. We know that God's got us. God had us when we were at the lowest and the most stressful in that hospital. And he's got us while we're out. This is the easy part. So if you're in that situation today, and maybe I don't know what it is. Maybe you're struggling with employment. Maybe the economy is affecting your work. Maybe you have your own bills you got to take care of and everything. Listen, the more and more the mountain looks big, the more and more you lean into God. The more and more you lean into him, and he'll take care of the rest. Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God. The rest of that stuff's easy. I got that. So as you give today, we give cheerfully, we give sacrificially, we give excitedly, we can't wait. And we have different ways for you to give. You can give, we have envelopes in the seat backs in front of you if you want to give cash. You can also give check, just make out the Trailhead Church. We have these amazing boxes around here. You can just drop it off on your way out. You can also give online at trailhead.church/give, right? Or is it not giving? Okay, trailhead.info, go there, it'll go to the right one. Or you can text to give, just follow the instructions and the prompt there. So many easy ways to give. And as you give cheerfully, get excited lean into what God has for you and know that what you are doing is sowing into good ground, because when you sow into what God is doing, you go there with him, okay? Whenever someone is getting saved, whenever someone's getting filled with the Holy Spirit, whenever someone's getting baptized, you played a role in that. Because, and that is an opportunity God gives us, okay? So let's go ahead and pray over the offering. We have some announcements, and then we'll get into today's word. All right, Lord, we just thank you so much, God, for your provision. We thank you so much for all that you're doing in our lives. God, we thank you so much that nothing surprises you. You're not shocked by anything. There's no bill that you're taken aback by. And we know there are people in this place right now who are believing for jobs and better jobs closer to home with a good work-life balance that will be able to spend time with their family and meet all their needs. We know there are people in this room who are believing for bills to paid off, for debts to be demolished. We are believing, God, for credit cards to be cut up, and that people will be set free from any burden or anxiety that comes with finances or anything in this world. And Lord, we just thank you. We claim this all done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Katie. Here are some of the things coming up around Trailhead Church. Remember to download our app to make sure you don't miss the rest of the events that are happening here at Trailhead. We're also excited to celebrate this season of giving with our 14th annual Thanksgiving Basket Outreach. Our Bridge Outreach Ministry is expanding our reach, and this year our goal is to donate Thanksgiving dinners for 150 families that are in need. Help us share the love of Jesus by signing up to donate a basket or make a general donation. All donations need to be delivered by Sunday, November the 20th. Ladies, make plans to join us this upcoming Saturday, November the 5th at 9 a.m. for our first Women of the Word Bible study. On the first Saturday of every month from November through April, we will be sharing an insightful word about notable women in the Bible. I'm going to kick us off this week talking about Queen Esther. Light treats for breakfast will be served, so come hungry. We can't wait to see you. If you're new to Trailhead and you're wondering what's your next step, I'd like to invite you to our Pathfinder class. Pathfinder is a two-week course where you can learn more about Trailhead, what it means to be a follower of Christ, and how to invest the gifts that God has placed within you. Each class will speed during our 9 a.m. service, and it's going to start next Sunday. If you would like to take your next step, I encourage you to sign up in the Trailhead app to find out more. If you have any questions about anything happening here at Trailhead, our friendly Next team would love to connect with you. You can find them right in the middle of the lobby, or you can always just connect with us online.
All right. Well, good morning, first service. I have not gotten to say that in many years, so I am excited to get to minister here. This is my first time preaching in our two-service format since the cinema. It's been a few years, so I am excited to get back into that swing for different opportunities to minister. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Adam. I'm the teaching pastor here at Trailhead Church. Pastor Josh and Pastor Anna are ministering at New Life Church in Cary, North Carolina today. So please be praying for them. I know they're having a great time. But I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to be here with you all. I'm honored to be under such great leadership at this church who trust me with you all, and who are not watching me like right now and just, you know, don't say that. No, I'm so thankful to be able to be under a great set of pastors who love and care for you, and they're always encouraging us to make sure that we are, you know, always praying for everyone in this church and always connecting and always making sure that we are acting as the church, that one body. So I am honored to be here with you today. So today, you know, one thing I want to minister on today, for those of you who don't know, again, I'm the teaching pastor, so a lot of the classes sort of fall under my guise. And the one thing that I'm teaching on right now, that the class we're in, is our Holy Spirit class. We call Who is the Holy Spirit? So right now, my mind for like the past month has been all Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you today is going to be the Holy Spirit, okay? So I'm just letting you know. That's where everything is. And when I was creating the curriculum for this class about a year ago, I started finding myself like, wow, I really need to go deeper into this. I really need to go deeper into this topic, into my connection with him. Like, there's so much importance here that often gets overlooked in the church. And if you've only been coming for a few weeks, you probably say to yourself, man, this church talks about the Holy Spirit a lot. Well, there's a reason for that. And the fact that it's odd, or it may seem odd to you, is kind of what today's message is about. So today, you know, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and I really, it's going to be kind of a teaching, kind of a preaching. You know, it's going to have that little, you know, hodgepodge. But I want to talk about who he is, why he's important, because a lot, you know, let's be honest, in the especially in the American church, I can't speak on behalf of every other church in the world, but in the American church, he tends to be the least talked about member of the Trinity, of the Godhead, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We oftentimes treat him like he's like the weird cousin at Thanksgiving you don't want to sit next to. You know, it's like, we'll acknowledge him when we're going around the table, but like, don't be alone with him. You know, he's going to want to talk about something weird. You know, don't do that. But that's not who he is. So, first off, I want to talk about what Jesus actually said about the Holy Spirit. And I want to go to the book of John. Now, the book of John, there are four Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John is probably my favorite Gospel. And it's okay to have a favorite Gospel. Don't worry. It's not like I don't like the other ones. But that one's probably my favorite. And the reason why is because John is so unique compared to Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called what's called the Synoptic Gospels. They're very similar. They cover very similar things. There's obviously more in one because there's different audiences for both. But it was very kind of historical, matter of fact, to where John actually wrote his many years after the previous three. By this point, the authors of the previous three had died and been martyred, I believe. I'm pretty sure. But by this point, John in his later age, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke were already circulating in the church, John in his later age, you know, obviously was teaching from them, loved them, but say, no, I really want to tell this side of the story from my perspective of when it comes to Jesus. So that's why John wrote his gospel. And that's why when you read John, it's so much different than the other three. Because there's a lot of theology, but there's also a major emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Now, again, the other Gospels talk about the Holy Spirit, but John, you know, was wanting to make sure that there was a lot more information, a lot more understanding on the importance of the Holy Spirit, because his generation was dying off. He wanted to make sure that future churches, obviously Jesus had not come back by this point, so he was wanting to make sure future churches understood that. So if you have your Bibles or if you have your app, you can go to John chapter 14. And we're in what's called what they call the farewell discourse. This is basically Jesus saying his goodbye. He's saying his goodbye to his disciples, saying a whole lot of different things, prophesying a lot of different things, and teaching a lot of different things. But in this, he is trying to almost reassure them, almost comfort them, and almost explain to them that it's actually a good thing that he's going to die. Okay, so John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17 says this, that if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. And then Jesus then goes on to warn the disciples, to let them know, hey, the world is going to hate you. Okay, the world is going to hate you because they hate me. Giving them a heads up, you know, not really the pep talk they're wanting. But then he says again in chapter 15, verse 26, but I will send the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. Again, selling it. Hey, by the way, you're not going to have any friends. No one's going to like you. No one's going to invite you out. You're going to be the weird one. But don't worry, the advocate's coming. And then he starts to notice as he's going on, he's starting to notice how the disciples are sad. Because he just told them everyone's going to hate them. He told them that he's going to die, everyone's going to hate them, not really the big sell. You know what I mean? And so he is telling them this, and he sees that they're grieving, that they're upset. And in chapter 16, verses 5 through 7, sorry, I know I'm bouncing a little bit, so if it's easier for you to follow in your app, you can. But he says this, but now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. So Jesus is telling him that the sad news that he's leaving, but he's trying to keep telling them. He's really trying to bring them back that it's a good thing because the advocate is now coming. And they don't quite get that. Again, they haven't experienced, though. I mean, the closest they know to the Holy Spirit is him. So it's like, well, you're telling me you're going away. I don't know who this advocate guy is, But you're telling me you're going away, and that's a good thing? Well, let's talk about what that word advocate actually means. Because if you are not I'm reading from the NLT. And so if you're not reading from the NLT, you may be seeing a different word. You may be getting a little confused even. So I know different translations say different things. Some say comforter. Some say intercessor. Some say counselor. Some say helper. That word there, and it's in your Trailhead app too if you want to follow along. But that word here comes from the Greek word parakletos. Okay? Para, which means beside, and kaleo, which means calling. That's where that word comes from. And the problem with this word is the fact that it encompasses so much that scholars have really found it difficult to nail down just one title for it, especially in the English language. If you've ever taken a class with me, you know I hate the English language because it makes no sense. There are so many rules. If you've ever tried, and that's why it's very hard, if you've ever taken like high school Spanish and you've just sort of breezed on, you know what I mean? We've all done it. I mean, come on. If you've ever taken like high school Spanish, for those of you who are native English speakers, it was probably very difficult for you because you were overthinking it. I'm trying to memorize all these different words and all these different whatever, when in reality there's a formula, there's a pattern to it. English does whatever the heck it wants to do. All right? It does. Okay, the plural for goose is what? Geese. Right, good, you passed. What's the plural for moose? Meese. Yeah, someone said meese. It should be. No, it's moose. What's the first letter of xylophone? Y. I was talking with Renata. If you guys don't know Renata, Renata's from Brazil. She's like, one thing we don't get is what's with the silent letters? And I agree. Why the silent letters? Like, but the T is silent. Then take it out. Why is it there? So I know sometimes we get real, I speak English. It's really a dumb language, all right? And that's kind of what we've seen here with the Greek. I mean, if you talk about the word love, I can love my wife, and I can love tacos. Yeah, same passion in a totally different way. So if I were to write down on a piece of paper, I love my wife, I love tacos, and 1,000 years from now, some new alien race with a new language or whatever picks it up and translates it, they say, man, this guy really loves tacos. Because that's how our language works. But the word advocate here, the parakletos, it can encompass words like advocate, helper, comforter, counselor, intercessor. It's really difficult to nail it down because this word encompasses so much. Because the Holy Spirit encompasses so much that our English language really struggles to comprehend. So Jesus is using this word of like, guys, he's coming, he's going to be inside you, and they're sitting there boo-boo face, and he's trying to really just pump them up and tell them, but when it comes to the advocate, he encompasses all of this, and they still don't get it. So we know the story, we know the gospel story. Jesus goes, he dies, he rises from the grave. At the end of John, it talks about how he, because again, John covers covers these extra things with the Holy Spirit. He breathes the Holy Spirit on them for their salvation. And then he tells them again. At the very beginning of Acts, he's sitting there, he's eating with them. And Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 4, he says this, that once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now that word baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo, which literally means to immerse. So he is telling them, you are going to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. The one you heard about, who was at creation, who hovered over the waters, you are going to be immersed in him. And they still didn't get it. They still were sitting there, boo-boo face. Jesus ascends to heaven. It's a pretty funny story. Read in Acts chapter 1. And they just stand there staring. Just waiting for him to come back. And then you see God sends angels to tell them to go away. Go. Because Jesus told him, whatever you do, do not leave Jerusalem. Don't try to do this on your own. You're going to screw it up. Peter, we saw you. I saw you back there before the rooster crowed. Wasn't your finest moment, all right? You need to go and wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. I know you may be excited. You want to go right now, but you need to wait. But they were so lost without Jesus. Again, that boo-boo face was still there because they were so lost without him. They could not comprehend in their mortal mind what was about to happen. And so, if you've been in this church more than like a week, you know the next story. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls, Pentecost takes place, and then the world was never the same. Peter, the same guy who denied Jesus 3 times in one night, meaning he wouldn't even acknowledge he knew the guy, stands up and preaches a message, and 3,000 people get saved. 3,000 people in one message. And if you look through church history, the rest of these average Joe, blue-collar workers who followed Jesus died incredible deaths, all because of their passion for Christ. The same people who couldn't even stick around whenever Jesus was in trouble when he was here on this earth are now dying for him. Peter was crucified upside down. Paul had his head cut off. I think it was Thomas who got speared. All of them except John died of some sort of martyrdom death. So we have to ask this question, that if Jesus spent this much time emphasizing the importance of the Holy Spirit to the point where he says, don't even do ministry without him. Don't. Just wait. Just wait. Don't even leave your city. Don't even leave your town. Don't even leave your neighborhood. You wait for him. If he's emphasizing that so much, if there's such an importance that Scripture teaches us on our reliance for him, then why is he the most least talked about person in our churches? Why is that? A.W. Tozer said this. This is such a brilliant quote. One of the most telling blows which the enemy ever struck at the life of the church was to create in her a fear of the Holy Spirit. I'll read it again. One of the most telling blows which the enemy ever struck at the life of the church was to create in her, her being the church, a fear of the Holy Spirit. And It's really telling. It's really amazing. I'm not even talking necessarily about, what's charismatic, what's not charismatic, whatever. I'm just talking about him, period. The Holy Spirit. So we have to ask ourselves, why was it better that Jesus go away? Why was it better that, because the Bible tells us that Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. It's almost, us parents, I know how we have to word things because we've got to make things easier for our kids. But technically, Jesus doesn't live in your heart. Meaning, Jesus at the right hand of the Father. It's the Holy Spirit who resides in you. Now, we also believe in the Trinity, so if you want to connect the dots, yeah, sure. You're not necessarily wrong. Don't go home and say, kids, we were wrong this whole time. I can't believe it. It's not wrong. They're one and the same, three persons in one Godhead. So don't worry. Okay, don't worry. You're not necessarily wrong with that. But think about it. Think if Jesus never left, that means the Holy Spirit would not come. So if that is the case, if you wanted to talk to God, talk to Jesus, talk to the Holy Spirit, you know what you would need to do? You would need to hop on a plane. You would need to fly to Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, wherever Jesus is going to be at, in Israel. I'm assuming that's where he would be. You'd have to go there, get in the line, because you know there's going to be a lot of people waiting. Wait through the line to get through. Wait through. Tell Jesus what it is you want to talk to, whether it be repenting or whether you're praying for something, whatever. And then hop back on a plane, go back because you got to go to work the next day. And then you're like, daggone it. I kind of lost my cool there in the car. I got to get back on a plane, go back, fly to Tel Aviv. It's going to get pretty expensive, right? That's a lot. During the pandemic, you wouldn't have been able to do anything. All the planes were grounded. So had the Holy Spirit not come, you would not be able to have that relationship with your Heavenly Father. You would not be able to have that connection, that ongoing connection. So Jesus is saying, it is better that I go so that the church can be built, that the church can be growing. Because had he not left, listen, you need to understand, there is no Christian life without him. None. There is not. It may look like it. It's like the Diet Coke of Christianity. It may look like it, but it definitely don't taste like it. That's definitely not it, all right? Because there is no Christian life. Now, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, we're getting into the fruit of the Spirit. I know all of us know it from children's church. But a lot of times people read it wrong. They think this is like a goal. I need to get to this place. I need to get to this place where I'm loving and patient and all these things. But you're not reading the actual context. Galatians 5, starting at verse 16, says this: "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. The two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions." Skip down to verse 22. "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." Now, that word fruit, that Greek word for fruit, I know, you know, sometimes like when you hear pastor, sometimes me, you hear that Greek word, like, oh, there's going to be some underlying meaning here that I did not know. That Greek word for fruit literally just translates to fruit of the trees. Like an actual fruit, an apple, you know, an orange, you know, what you see about that. So, but there's something so telling about this illustration. See, fruit is just a natural reflection of its source. If I cut the fruit off from the source, what happens? It dies. It starts to shrivel up. It starts to rot. See, fruit, when staying connected to the source, reflects the source. That's how fruit works. I don't have to go onto a tree and duct tape a bunch of oranges and say, great, it's now a fruit tree. What Paul is saying here is that when you walk in the Spirit, you can't help but produce this fruit. A lot of times we look at this as like, I need to be more patient, so then that way I'll have the fruit of the Spirit. No, you need the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be more patient. A lot of times we're working too hard and trying to get in this self-help mentality. Why? Because we're not relying on the Holy Spirit. We've given him the back seat when he's the one who's here. A lot of times we look up, we're like the disciples looking at heaven. Jesus! I need to quit being so angry. And Jesus is saying, I already told you, he's right there with you. You go with him. That's what the Holy Spirit is producing, that fruit. There is no Christian life without him. We are imperfect beings in a fallen world. There is no Christian life. There is no regeneration. There is no rejuvenation. Also, there is no power without him. There's none. Again, it may look like it, but it ain't it. And that's going to falter. Acts 1:8. Jesus said this before he left, again, when they're having the boo-boo face. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Translation for today: Jerusalem, their backyard, their neighborhood, their city; Judea and Samaria, their country, and to the ends of the earth, the entire globe. So he's telling them, you will have power. Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. 1 Thessalonians 1:5-6. For when we brought you the good news, it was not only the words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true, and you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of severe suffering that brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. So Jesus promised power would come with the Holy Spirit. They were uncertain, scared, again, had the boo-boo face, and he's saying, no, you will have power. It won't be that you're just going to go out and minister. You're going to go out and have power when you do so. You're going to have power. We also see when the disciples prayed together, when they were together, they were filled with the Spirit, and the grounds were shaken. Imagine what would happen if we just came together. Whenever there's a bad moment or there's a trial or something, we just came together, the foundations would shake over the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we see Paul saying this. Paul is telling the Thessalonian church, telling them that, hey, listen, it wasn't that we just came at you with, you know, great intellect and all the Bible verses, and all, which that's important. I'm not, which we'll get into that in a minute. But I didn't just come with that, but I came with you with power as well. You knew that what we were speaking was true. And that because of that, when this church faced persecution, they were able to receive what God had with for them with joy because they got the bigger picture. They understood. Also, you cannot fully grasp God's word without him. You can't. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. How do we really expect to know the word of God when we don't get in touch with the author? The scripture says that the scripture is God breathed, the very essence. If you get around me and if I had tacos, you would probably know that if you were around my breath. Because the very essence of what I just consumed is being reflected in that. So scripture is breathed out by God. The very essence of God is in scripture. So if you are completely doing so, looking without the lens of the Holy Spirit, you are not going to fully grasp God's word. And we see this in history, because I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to be kind of bold. I don't know how this is going to rub people. Scripture can be very dangerous without him. If you look throughout history, how people, and I know many people, you've gotten into those conversations with the people at work. Well, you know, Christians did blah, 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 blah. Well, Christians did blah, blah, blah. No, people who were not following the Holy Spirit, who were pretending to do so, they did certain things that went against God's word. People have misused scripture throughout history. Hitler misused scripture throughout history. And there's no one like, man, we should really get some more Hitler teachings up in here. No. People have misused scripture forever. And we experience that now, even in the church. We see people. And you know who these, you know, and we've experienced these people. And I'm not trying to, you know, make, you know, get, just bash anyone. But there's a lot of people you'll encounter in your life who are incredibly smart, really intelligent, really can say all the words, but when it comes to their actions are cold, with no compassion. And you can tell because they are more concerned with winning the argument than winning the soul. They are more concerned with making you feel dumb than actually getting to actually get to the root of God's word. If you look at the Pharisees knew God's word. They knew scripture. But their one big goal was to identify the Messiah. That's like, that was in their orientation. You got to find the Messiah if he's there. And clearly we see they screwed that up. Because they knew the word, but they didn't know him. So scripture can be very dangerous and misused. I can find any random verse in here, take it out of context, and probably get whatever it is I want. We see politicians every election cycle. Somehow misuse scripture to push something or to win votes or something. Listen, without him, without the Holy Spirit, without the author, without the direct commentary, you are really short-servicing yourself and really not getting all that God wants for you. Now, on the flip side, seeking the spiritual without being grounded in God's word, that can be dangerous as well. This is when people sometimes follow down false prophecies, false doctrines, wacky behavior, things that are not appropriate, things that are out of line. So there has to be a balance, meaning, and I know it's almost like you hate to say it because I feel like the attitude we sometimes have, like, well, this church is a very scripture-grounded church. Well, this church is a very spiritual church. Why don't we just have a church? And we just do it all. Like, I don't get it. Like, why is it like this is this kind and this is this kind? Just do it all. Be grounded in the Word of God. Seek the Holy Spirit. We must be working together with this. It can't just be an either-or thing, because what happens is you get a lot of really smart people who are cold with very little compassion, or you have a lot of flakiness, or a lot of false teachings, a lot of false doctrines. This is how cults get started, because they're not being grounded in the word, because they're only pursuing after the feelings, the goosebumps, whatever, and opening themselves up for things from the enemy. So scripture, you need to have a grasp on who the Holy Spirit is and have a relation with him, a relationship with him, along with being grounded in God's word. So, you know, and I know, like, you know, this is, again, some teaching, some preaching, it's just really what God's been laying on my heart lately. But we have to ask that question, do we have fellowship with him? Do we have actual fellowship? Do we understand what fellowship means? Because, see, I grew up in a really small town church. When I think fellowship, I think the fellowship hall, and I think lemon squares. That's what I think. I grew up, Miss Sprigg had the best lemon squares. And when it was time to that break between service and Sunday school, because we did Sunday school after, because we had to split with another, it was a whole thing. But anyway, I was really excited because I'm like, great, we're going to go have fellowship, which means I'm going to get lemon squares. I was really excited about that. So that's what you think of, because we use it so much. I'm not knocking the term fellowship hall. Obviously, what fellowship hall is supposed to be is what fellowship actually is. But in the Corinthian letters, and at the very end of 2 Corinthians, now the Corinthian, and if you're taking the Holy Spirit class or you have, you've heard me talk about the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was a wild church. The Corinthian church was on that other end of the spectrum with pursuing the spiritual but not being grounded in God's word. I mean, just really wacky behavior. So, I mean, they were pursuing spiritual gifts but having incestual relationships with other people. Because the church of Corinth, because Corinth itself was known for, like, being Vegas times 10. Like, I mean, really just an immoral city. It came with a lot of the stereotypes that basically everyone there was either drunk or partying or whatever. So Paul is constantly having to correct them. So he's writing these letters. He even talks about other letters that he wrote that we don't have access to, but makes references to them, as well as having a stern visit with them. Now, thankfully, what church history teaches us is they received his teaching and became a thriving church. But he ends his last letter, and there's a lot of heavy Holy Spirit theology in the Corinthian letters, mainly because they are misusing the Holy Spirit. But he ends 2 Corinthians with this: may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So keep that verse up if you can. So you see, there's three different things that Paul is wishing on them. Wish is not the right word, but again, our language is terrible. But we're wishing on them that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sin, the being made new, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be on you. May the love of God, that favor, that love be on you, but the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Like, out of all the ones on here, and all these are great, I'm not knocking any of them, but the one with the Holy Spirit is the one that's more about personal relation. Now, that word, fellowship, comes from the Greek word, and again, it's in your app if you'd like to have access to it. It comes from the Greek word koinonia, okay? And this word in particular can mean these things: partnership, companionship, communication, intimacy, sharing together, joint participation, close mutual association. So it's not just about lemon squares. It's not just about having a friendly conversation about the weather. If I look at these, if I look at how this describes it, I'm thinking, you know, let me flip it around. If I think back to many times when I've heard people complain about their marriage, a lot of times it's lacking one of these things: partnership, companionship, communication, intimacy, sharing together, joint participation, close mutual association. Meaning that when I think of this, I'm thinking of a healthy, thriving marriage. I'm not saying you are literally married like the same way you're married to your spouse, to the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to get that doctrine started, but when it comes to this, when it comes to how you view fellowship, Paul is saying, I want you to have that close, intimate, mutual association with him. That's not just a gimme. That's not just a, you know, a goosebump thing, a feeling thing. It's, I want you to have ongoing, regular interaction, regular communication, regular intimacy, close, mutual association with him. So you have to ask yourself, do you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? We got to take that inventory. Are you regularly spending time with him? Are you devoting your time to prayer or poring over God's word? Are you focusing on him? Are you in regular prayer? Are you drowning out the noise when you do? Because I know what's like. I mean, you step outside, you turn on the TV, you get a lot of things thrown at you. Because I know what the TV is telling you. I know what the media is telling you. I know what CNN's telling you. I know what Fox News is telling you. I know what MSNBC is telling you. I know what this podcast is telling you. I know what all these different things are telling you. But can you tell me what the Holy Spirit is telling you? Because if you can tell me all these things that these other sources are telling you, what's getting your attention the most? Because it's not him. Because they're all telling you all these different things. But the Holy Spirit is the one who's leading you to life. And I fall into this trap too. A lot of times we read stories about A.W. Tozer or Smith Wigglesworth or Ken Hagin or Brian R. Bonnke. You're like, man, I wish I could just hear the Holy Spirit like they do. Man, I wish I knew the Bible like this person did. Exactly. Thank you, Derek. You can. I don't think you understand. Well, you just think that these people were just birthed and all of a sudden, you know, knew the Holy Spirit. No, they spent time with him. They devoted time. You want to know how some people just know the Bible? They read the Bible. It's just crazy. You just read the Bible. Continue to do so. You devote time with him. So if you want to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, it's not going to just happen like, boom, there it is. It takes time. I was thinking about this yesterday, you know, I was thinking about, for some reason, the first year of my wife's and mine's marriage. And the first year of marriage can sometimes be the more challenging one. I'm not saying that that's the only time that there's challenges in a marriage, but that can be one more challenging. Why? Because you got a new roommate. And with new roommates come new quirks, comes different things. It comes learning to hear their voice. It comes learning to understand, and I may not be so naive about things or understand when someone is happy, when someone is not happy. Because I can think of a time when my wife and I, when we were either first dating or first married, and we'd be in a room together, and she'd be super quiet. Some of you guys know, you know what that means. And I'd make the mistake of going up to her and saying, "What's wrong?" Thinking it was anything other than me. And she would say, "What?" "Nothing." And I would think, "Nothing's wrong. Great. Okay, just thought I'd check." Now I know if I'm in a room with my wife alone for more than 5 minutes and not a word's being said, and you guys know my wife, she will have a conversation with anybody. It's me. I already know that. But the reason I know that is because I now know how my wife communicates. It took time. It took investing. I could easily say at the end of year one, be like, "This is dumb. I'm out. You just don't understand me." I could easily just done that. But that's not what a close mutual relationship is. And so Paul is telling the church and telling us, close mutual association. You will learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit if you spend time with the Holy Spirit. You will know the Word of God better if you read the Word of God. It's an ongoing thing. So it's easy for you to get distracted or discouraged and be like, "Well, I don't hear the Word of God like so and so. Because they know the Word of God." You can tell that person hears the Holy Spirit. It's been tested, tried, and true. They didn't just start that way. And if they did just start that way, those people you may want to sort of avoid. Those are the people that sometimes have, well, I won't get into that. But anyway, we got to stop looking at the Holy Spirit like he's the weird cousin on Thanksgiving. All right? We got to stop looking at the Holy Spirit like he is a substance, like he's the force or whatever Harry Potter uses. I don't know. The wand. I don't know. I'm a different type of nerd. I like Star Wars. Something like it's just some sort of like it's an it. It's a thing. The Holy Jesus only referred to the Holy Spirit as he. A person that can be grieved, that can experience joy, that loves you, that wants to have, that was sent here, that the God's own son died and willingly gave his life for you to have intimacy with him. So a lot of times if you're feeling dry, if you're feeling tired, if you're feeling exhausted, like maybe you feel far away from God, it may well be, and I don't know your situation, it may well be that you're doing this. And Jesus is doing, look down. Look right there. So if there's anything you get out today, listen, I want to encourage you. Focus on that koinonia type of relationship, close mutual association with the Holy Spirit. I know, again, you may be, again, going back to the first thing I said earlier, you may be saying, wow, they talk about the Holy Spirit a lot here. Well, he's the one who's here with us. He's the one here that is empowering. He is the one that is ministering. He is the one here. Jesus will return. He will come back. But while we're in this age, it's the Holy Spirit who is empowering us. He's not meant to be on the back burner of your thoughts. He wants to have an ongoing relationship with you. Whether you're at work, whether you're in the car, whether you're at home. You know how many times that I've had to been in a situation with my kid, with my toddler and my six-year-old, and have just had to stop and pray in the Spirit before I lost it? I heard a pastor say once, he said, somebody asked him, do I really need to have the Holy Spirit to really know God? He said, you need the Holy Spirit just to go to Walmart. I can't tell you how many times I've just had to go and pray in the Spirit. And just, Lord, you don't know the right, or you don't, or I don't know the right way. You do. You just calm me down. Let me do this before I do something I shouldn't. Help to produce in me that fruit that you want, that you have for me. Help me to reflect that naturally. And let me have that close, ongoing, mutual relationship, that intimate relationship, that healthy relationship. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, first thing, you know, and we do this every Sunday, and I want to give someone the opportunity. Maybe you're in here and you're like, I'm not even at the Holy Spirit level. I don't even know Jesus. I've been away. Maybe you knew him at one point in your life and now you don't, or maybe you never have. Listen, if you're in this room and you want to know Jesus, you want to get saved, listen, we want to pray with you. But if that's you, just do me a quick favor. Lift your hand up really quick. Just let me know that you're saying, hey, Pastor Adam, will you pray for me? Is there anyone here at all? Anyone? All right, keep those head bowed and keep those eyes closed. Now, if you're in this room and you say, Pastor Adam, I know Jesus. I know he loves me. I know that God has a plan for me. I am a Christian, but I just feel tired. I just feel dry. I just feel like, listen, I want to know the Holy Spirit more, but he just seems so far away. I just feel exhausted. I feel wore out, and I just need a boost. I just need a bump. I just need a boost. If that's you, just lift your hand up real quick and say, will you please pray for me? Anybody in this room at all? Anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. All right, let's stand to our feet real quick. Now, nobody lifted their hands to receive salvation, but I understand. I know the first time that I heard an altar call, I didn't either. So if that's you, we want to pray with you, okay? All right, it's not too late. Don't worry. God's like, you didn't raise your hand. No, that's not how that works. But there were a number of hands. Of people who are just feeling tired, who are feeling exhausted, who are feeling far from the Holy Spirit. Listen, today is that day you can get that boost. I don't even know if that's the right word to use, but the Holy Spirit, here's the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit. He wants to be with you. He wants to. He doesn't have to. He wants to. He wants to have that ongoing relationship. And I know you may feel tired, but this is what I want us to do, all right? I want us all to pray together, and we're going to worship, okay? We're going to pray. I'm going to give it over to the worship team, and what I want you to do is I want you to focus on him. Give him the praise. Give him the glory. Can we have altar workers up here too? If you want to get prayer for anything, if there's anything you need prayer for at all, if you're like, you know what? I need for whatever. I don't even know what it is. If you want to accept Jesus, if you want healing, if you want to come to agreement to know the Holy Spirit more, if you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want to get baptized in him, remember that word baptized means totally immersed in the Holy Spirit. We want to pray with you. So let's pray together real quick. We're going to worship. And if you want prayer for anything, please come on up. All right. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for you. Lord, we thank you that we can come and have a close relationship with him, that we can be empowered with him, that we can look through scripture through his lens, that we can have an ongoing relationship with you, that God, that we are not left alone, we are not left deserted, staring up at the sky, but instead, we are empowered, we are brought close to you through the Holy Spirit of God. And God, right now, as we come to you in worship, as we come to you in praise, that God, that you will meet us here. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Minister to hearts. Minister to those who are just needing that boost, who are just needing that fire, who are just needing that freshness, that renewal, whatever it is. We know that this life can have a lot of junk just feel like pile up on our backs. God, right now we are praying that the Holy Spirit, you just wipe it off and just make us new. We just thank you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You are worthy. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I'm to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Come overwhelm us, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, we welcome you. We open our hearts and we welcome you.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would do a work in our hearts this week, that you would shift our mindset to be aware of your presence in our life, that you would direct every step that we take, that we would be seeking your peace to walk in those steps of peace that you give before we take any action, Lord, and that you would help us to be aware of those around us who need more of you, who need that Holy Spirit's presence, that we can be aware and ready to be with them, supporting them in that. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. I have just a couple of quick announcements. First is we've been preparing for several weeks for our trunk or treat, the outreach with the Fellowship Riders. Unfortunately, the weather is not going to cooperate. We've got rain, it looks like, throughout the whole evening, so we are actually going to have to cancel that event. If you are planning to participate by being part of the trunk or treat or volunteering, you should have gotten a message already about that, but we just wanted to make everyone aware that we're going to have to wait on that. Hopefully we'll have a better chance next year. Second thing is, tonight we have Last Sunday with Switchback Youth. They'll be here from 5 to 8 p.m. They're going to do they're calling it Grand Old Time, and they're going to do you can come dressed as a senior citizen. I realized I didn't actually have a word for that when I just got here. So anyway, choose your best senior citizen outfit for tonight, and they will have food, obviously. So come on out for that. And then lastly, I want to continue to remind you that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Obviously, our pastors are not with us this morning. As Pastor Adam mentioned, they're ministering at a church in Cary. So we want to honor them next week when they're back. So you can help us do that. You can give toward Pastor Appreciation. We're just going to give them a time of rest. That's what we want to do, is just for all of the efforts that they do, we want to give them a time of rest. So we're going to do that. You can participate by giving online. Just choose that Pastor Appreciation Fund, or you can write that on a check or cash. And I also encourage you to take some time, write a card, send a message, whatever fits you. Choose to think about how you can honor them in your own way, and do that over this next week. So with that said, we love you guys. You are dismissed. Have a great week.